Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 10, recorded Monday, March 29th, 2029, on a beautiful spring day. I am joined by Chris Mitchell. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Dave, thanks for having me. A beautiful day is correct, almost 70 degrees. A beautiful day for some tennis or some golf.
A beautiful day to host a podcast when you got a guest like we've got today, too.
Oh, we're bringing some heat tonight, Dave.
It is a true icon. But before we get started with him, thanks to partners Cassens & Sons, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb & Ginger Blasting Game, and Integrity Spine & Joint Center. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. But tonight, our special guest is none other than Coach Babe Champion, legendary Coach Babe Champion. And before we introduce him, I'm going to ask you again, folks, there's three things you can do to help. Number one, please subscribe to our podcast. It's free and you love it, so why not? Number two, please follow us in all of our social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and of course,
the Gram.
You know it. And number three, if you have a story idea, email me, please, at mespdave@gmail.com. Okay, before we get to our guests, let's talk about the Integrity Spine and Joint Center question of the week for last week. Last week, it was, what's a sport that some local schools don't have, but everybody should add? And the overwhelming response was, Chris?
The overwhelming response I saw was boys lacrosse. That's a big sport over in St. Louis. Not as much here in the Metro East. But so that was a big one. What about yourself, Dave? What did you see?
Well, going back to lacrosse, before we leave lacrosse, it may not be a big sport here in the Metro East, but it is growing. And there are some high schools that do have lacrosse. And there are some communities that they may not have it at a high school level, but they've got it at a scholastic level. I'm thinking of Edwardsville, for example. Does not have a high school team, but there's the Glen Ed lacrosse team program. So it's a growing sport. It's a great sport. It's the official sport of which people?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Native Americans. It's the official sport of Native Americans.
It's really big out east. I mean, lacrosse is huge. A lot of the student athletes that I covered during my time at WashU, many of their brothers and sisters played lacrosse. And I saw my first lacrosse game when I was SID at Duke, and there is a big difference between men's and women's lacrosse, but it's an interesting sport. The men's game is actually very rough. It's similar to football, Dave.
Heck yes it is. Who's the best men's lacrosse player probably of all time from Syracuse University?
You got me on that one.
Best running back ever for the Cleveland Browns?
Jim Brown.
Boom. You got it right. Nick Melatine talked about lacrosse on the Facebook. He also noted that some schools actually don't have soccer still, some smaller schools. And Scott Sipe chimed in on lacrosse. Answer of the week, though, I'm going to give it to Chris Hulme. She said badminton.
Oh, wow.
It's a big sport in Chicago. It's an IHSA-recognized sport.
Yeah, I've not played a lot of badminton in my time. How about, do you see pickleball ever becoming a IHSA sport?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be an official sport of retirement centers.
That was good, Dave. Have you ever played pickleball?
Of course.
Okay. I can imagine with your volleys that you could. I think you could be a good retirement pickleball player.
I'm gonna leave it alone, and I'm gonna talk about the Integrity Spine and Joint Center question of the week for next week. Just posted it 2 minutes ago. Athletes, coaches, what is your go-to pregame meal?
Wow. That'll be an interesting question.
I know.
That we can ask our guest today.
Let's do it. Introduce our guest.
Well, I want to introduce our guest today. He's born and raised in Granite City, Illinois, and he goes by Coach Champion. He goes by Mr. Champion, but he also goes by the Babe. It's Conrad Babe Champion joining us here on the Metro East Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. I'm honored. I'm really honored to be able to be here and I'm going to have to work my way through.
Where do we start with this guy? I think we start in the beginning.
The very beginning. He's from Granite City, born and raised. Tell us a little bit about the start of Babe Champion.
Well, I'd have to go back. My father and Saldy Parker from West Granite. I was born in West Granite on Missouri Avenue, and I was 5 years old. And I used to follow my dad on Saturdays and Sundays playing what we call semi-pro baseball. And Saldy Parker, as you know, went on and spent about 50-some years in pro baseball. And my father wasn't able to continue on. And so when I was 5 years old, I got to see many young men play and didn't realize, and I don't hope that this will be taken the proper way, his first team that he played on was called Alfenbräu. Now, that happens to be a beer that was in St. Louis, but it was started in Granite City. And if you go back to Sportsman's Park, which was on Grand Avenue back in the 50s, there's a left field fence that the sign said Alfenbräu Beer. So it started in Granite City, not so much for beer. I don't drink, but my point is, it was a way to let people know that a lot of things originated in Granite City, some not as good as others, but that was one of them that I think of. And when I was 11 years old, I got a chance to play baseball with 15-year-olds. And those 15-year-olds were from Wood River, Illinois, fellas that played Stiglmeyer's, the Caffreys, and some of them played professional baseball. This is before Coach Bob Stiglmeyer, which was coached with me at Granite City, and I coached with him, but he had a brother that played, and he's still out in California today, and he's has a professional job in business-like. But I was just an 11-year-old kid getting a chance to play, and I was so appreciative. And that's when I started. And then I played, and lucky to play in high school for a little bit. And I had some sickness in high school that I had some interruptions. And then when I was about 18, I started playing again after I got out of the hospital and things like that. And I had the opportunity of playing against what we talk about today's world, the way some of the players look. But there was a team in Michigan called the House of Davids, and that was a men's team, but they had hair longer than women do. And then I had an opportunity as a young man to play against teams that were the Kansas City Monarchs and the Negro teams, that they all came to Belleville, Illinois, and played in a stag park over there. And that was a D-League park. And I had the lucky to have an opportunity. And that's a Negro league back in that day. And I was the white player playing on a team out of St. Louis. And I was the only white player playing on a Negro team. And we played against people like Buck O'Neill, which just passed away a few years ago in his 90s.
You played against Buck O'Neill?
I didn't play. He managed. He managed.
What was the name of the team you played for?
I played at this what we call the St. Louis Metropolitan All-Stars. It was a Negro team out of St. Louis, but really we were from Madison and different places. Buck O'Neill was the manager of the Kansas City Monarchs, and these are the teams that traveled and played in Belleville's D-League Park. And that's where, like, the Ernie Banks, those are the fellows that were trying to break into the Major League Baseball. As you know, the Chicago team had a catcher that played in the big leagues. But it was an opportunity that I don't know how I could say thank you.
What about other sports as a kid growing up? Did you play basketball, I believe?
I was on basketball, and they found out that I wasn't very good because But my point was that the coach wanted me to play. But in my junior and my senior year, I spent time in with tuberculosis in the hospital in Edwardsville, Illinois, in a sanitarium. So I, my senior years, it took me 5 years to graduate from high school. And my senior year was, which was a year that I helped coach the baseball team because I could not play. I coached third base for my Manny, or coach, Mr. Lawrence McCauley. And he let me coach the team, and we finished, got beat by, I'm very proud that we got beat by Alton Redbirds, and the Alton Redbirds got beat as a runner-up in the state of Illinois in 1951.
Mr. Champion, so many people in the Metro East know you by Babe. Can you please share with our listeners, how did you get the name Babe Champion?
Well, the only thing I can think about, how did I get the name Conrad to start with? And my parents liked music back in 1932, and there was a band, big band, called Lou Conrad. So that was the name of Conrad Lou Champion. But then that was happened to be the baseball time of Babe Ruth back in that day, and my dad was playing baseball in what we call amateur baseball. So I assume that that's how the name came from Babe, not necessarily Babe Ruth, but people that around that time period. That's the best I can answer. Cause
well, it's a pretty good answer there, Babe. So, Babe, I want to take our listeners back to 1948. Probably a special season for you. Granite City wins the state baseball championship, the only state championship in baseball in Granite City history. They had a sophomore left fielder named Babe. Babe Champion was named to the all-tournament team. What do you remember from that 1948 season?
Well, wow, you've done some research. When we got to the state tournament, Granite City happened to be 3-8 going into the tournament. And we happened to win a game at Wilson Park, and we were scheduled to play Edwardsville with a pitcher named Leroy Wheat. And Leroy Wheat was the pitcher that pitched along in the big leagues and pitched later on in professional baseball. He was a fine basketball player in baseball. Edwardsville got beat by Alton 3-2, so we didn't have to face him when we was able to win and got to the state tournament. We beat Belleville 6-5 in Staunton, Illinois, to get to the state tournament to play the three games up there in East Peoria, where we had lights that were about 70 foot high. And that's a story about that, because this happened that we've won the first game. We won the first game against a team from Peoria that was supposed to win the tournament. We beat them 3-2, and Art Borchers hit a home run. Excuse me, 2-1. Art Borchers was our second baseman. I grew up with him, and he hit a home run to win 2-1. Then we beat a team out of Chicago 7-2, and we got to the final game, and it happened to be our neighbors, New Athens, with Whitey Herzog. And Whitey was playing center field. I played left field on that team. And Carl Linhart had hit a triple. I was on first base. And another time, and Carl hit a ball in right center. And I say this to this day, because the story is Whitey Herzog dropped the fly ball. He did not see the fly ball because it went above the lights. And back in those days, 70-foot lights are like softball lights or soccer lights. And back in those days in East Peoria, that's what they had. And so by record, Carl Linhart had two triples in that game. One was lost in the lights or not above the lights, and then Carl hit it. And Carl went on and played with the Detroit Tigers and had a couple coffee with the Detroit Tigers as a catcher and outfielder. Carl is still living today, and he's 91.
Now, What kind of player was Babe Champion? Besides a left fielder, were you a
I'm guessing scrappy.
Were you a scrappy left or right-handed batter? Tell us a little bit of what kind of player you are.
When I was a sophomore, I played right field, and I got moved to left field because I didn't have a very strong arm, left-handed. And then when I played left field, I stayed there through the whole year of winning in 1948. And when I became a junior, then I moved to first base. And I played first base for the rest of my days in fast pitch softball, baseball, and so on. And they knew that I didn't have a very good arm. I didn't hit home runs, but I hit a lot of doubles and triples because I could run a little bit. That's one of the blessings that I had. No arm, make contact, didn't strike out a lot, but made contact. In today's world, baseball, everybody wants to hit home runs. And I took a pride. One thing I want to share is I took pride in hitting the ball over. I was a left-handed batter, and I took pride in hitting the ball over the third baseman's head for doubles in baseball. I could control the bat. I used the lightest bat, the thinnest bat I could. Everybody wants to get a big, heavy bat. Pick the lightest one you can find, and that's what I used.
Wow. Learned a bit there. So in today's world, he would be kind of like Ichiro.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking the same thing. All right, let's take a break. Babe Champion, part two, when we come back. Before we kick off segment number two with iconic coach Babe Champion, let me talk about my partners at Cassens & Sons. Big thanks to partners Cassens & Sons, the number one place to purchase a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram in the Metro East. You got three of them there? Go ahead. No, say it. You bought three there?
Yes, at one time, yes.
There you go. If it's good enough for Coach Champion, it's good enough for you. I love it that you put that in there. That was not rehearsed. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person where they've been for 25 years or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased four there. Coach Champion's purchased three there. My daughter drives. That's how many is that, Chris?
Hold on. That's seven.
That's how you got to that 10 on the ACT. Attaboy.
That's right.
My daughter drives back and forth to IU in a Jeep. My wife and I share a Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today.
And the babe has bought three cars from there.
There you go. That's the best. Way to go, Coach. Thanks for supporting the sponsors.
Well, I try to stay in Granite City or Edwardsville nearby.
Absolutely. Supporting the Metro East.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that we've been consistent with on this program is we're all about the Metro East.
Yeah.
You know, Jerseyville to Columbia, out to Breeze and all of it. You know, if you live in the Metro East and you buy your car in St. Louis, feel ashamed. Right?
That's right.
You got to keep the money in the East Side. You got to buy your Christmas presents here. Shop locally. Shop in your town. Let's talk about how you got into coaching. So after high school, you play some ball in college. Where'd you go?
Well, I went to Shirtlift College in Alton, which is now today's dental school for SIU. And Shirtlift College was a Baptist school, but I worked at the YMCA through my high school and college time, and we had seven men that worked at our YMCA, which is just going to be redone and refurbished after many years, and it should be open here in another couple months. So we worked in the school. I worked in the boys department and watched basketball and different things. I had a lot of boys from Lincoln Place. We call them the LAC Club. And that was where I was there. And then in 1956, I had to decide to stay at the Y. And I had an opportunity to go to the high school. And because that was 1956 is when they opened Coolidge. And they had a big influx in people and needed teachers. So I made the move, and I started out at $3,300 for the year.
Teaching what?
In PE, and I was at Namioke School.
And you got a donut once in a while across the street.
Yeah, across the street. And I was at Namioke School and met some fine people. And to this day, there's a couple students that I had in Namioke School. One is Randy Irwin. He is a funeral director, and I had him in the fourth grade. And I said, Randy, I says, you were scared to death of me in the fourth grade when you'd come into the gym, which was a very nice gym at Namioke School, which is gone now, and there's homes built. He says, I was scared to death of you. And I says, well, why? And Randy Irwin, he's in his 70s today, had all women teachers, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, music teacher. All were women, and I was the first male teacher for him.
Same for me. I had Mr. James at Parkview. All my teachers up to that point were females, so that's a good story.
Yes, and it's a treat. And I see Randy periodically because he doesn't like what I tell him. I says, Randy, you're my last stop.
On to the next subject. So, babe, I wanted to talk a little bit about tell our listeners a little bit about your coaching career at Parkview and Prather in Granite City.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to went to Prather, and Prather was named after Sophie Prather. Now, Sophie Prather, a background on her, I had no idea. That was a junior high. I had no idea who she was. She happened to be the mother of Lincoln Place, and she came from Carlisle, Illinois in the 30s, and she passed away in the 20s, and she passed away in around 36. But she coached Andy Phillip and Yvonne, all the basketball players that won in the state championship. She was the mother of Lincoln Place. So the school district had a nice opportunity to name a school in West Granite, which is Prather Junior High. And I started teaching there and coached players in the seventh grade that were on the freshman team, but I could play seventh graders. And one that I think of very highly of was Greg Patton. He became a principal. And I had seven fellas that played over there that they all went to Illinois State for Duffy Bass. And Duffy says, he was the baseball coach at that time, he says, babe, I don't want you to quit sending me players. And the best story of all, since I'm talking about my start, I says, Duffy, in 1978, never forget these years, I says, I'm going to retire from baseball at the high school, but I have a 5'6 guard, or excuse me, a 5'6 shortstop that I'd like to send you. He says, I don't need any 5'6 shortstops. Anyway, I said, just let him work out for you. He calls me on the phone. He says, you send me all of the 5'6 shortstops you have. This is 1978. And that player happened to be Tommy Henrich. Played 4 years for me in high school, played 4 years for Illinois State. And that's where sometimes people say, oh, you got to be 6'5" or 6'3". Here's a young man. Now, today, I think he's 5'8". So it isn't how big you are, how big a heart you have, and how much desire you have to play and commitment. That's the big thing in baseball.
What was the first year you took over the Warriors baseball program?
About 73, I think.
73.
Yes, I didn't have great records. I had a few wins, but I mean, I sent over 20 kids to colleges, and that's to me is the most important. And that's the most important of anything. Junior colleges, community colleges, and Western, Eastern Illinois, and Missouri State Missouri State. But that's where two of my sons went to school.
Coach Champion, I want to ask you. Granite City's had a long, long tradition of baseball success. 65 pro baseball players.
Is there? I didn't know that.
Who is the best Granite City baseball player that you have seen in person? I'm putting you on the spot. And then I'm going to ask Coach Leip the same question because I know he's seen a few baseball players in Granite City.
My answer is going to surprise you because I saw a Granite City guy play in the major leagues.
Well, that had to be Gary Simpson. Carl played there, but
Champ Summers.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure, Champ.
No. My dad went way back with Champ Summers, yeah. And we went to the ballpark when the Giants were in town the year the Cardinals won the World Series in 82, and Champ Summers threw me a ball from the outfield. I thought I was 8 feet tall for the rest of the night, man. And then I had a dog that ate that ball a couple years later, but that's another story. But I saw Champ Summers play. I thought that was pretty cool. But I like Chris's question for you, though.
Well, now, if I could just interject there, you talk about Champ Summers. He wasn't a very big fellow. He played in Madison also, and then he came to Granite a little later. But he went away, and he was about 5'6", 5'8". He's since passed. And they went into service and came back, and he got a scout named George Bradley, which is law passed. But he came back, and he signed Champ Summers for $250 to play at SIU. And Champ was one of those players for these young 5'8", 5'10". Sometimes they grow to be 6'6", 6'7", also. It's not how big you are. You come back how good a heart.
I started thinking for a while that every baseball player from Granite City was either named Champ or Champion.
No.
I think you should have named your kid Champion. That's the only name cooler than Babe Champion. I don't know. I think Babe Champion might be the coolest name I think I've ever heard.
Well, I still have two of them in baseball, but anyway.
Okay, Babe, who's the best player you've seen playing Grant City in your time?
In baseball?
Yes, sir.
Give us a Mount Rushmore, maybe four names that you would put there.
Three or four.
Well, I thought Gary Simpson was pretty good shortstop, pretty good player. I have to go back 50 years, 40 years. There's a first baseman right now that's going to go to Missouri State. For right now, I can't think of his name, but he's still in high school.
Mason Rohr.
He's got some potential. All I can say is I had involved with about 18 to 20 players that played professional ball at some level. And to me, where they went out and got an education and went out in the real world, and some of them played ball after that, and some haven't.
You were known for cultivating great talent, but you were also known for cultivating a great relationship with your players. You were known as a popular player amongst your players. How else would you say your team's will be remembered?
Well, I hate to say, I hope that they are, and even till this day, some of the Charlie Collins that I had and players that Freddie Hoffman I had, and I ran into a couple others, but all of them I can't remember. And then I may not like this story to be told, and you can do whatever. But I never forget, we played on the Diamond One, which is in the Park District. That's still the baseball field, the big field. And then they built a baseball field out on the where it is today. And I was involved in some of that also. But I had a player that could throw the ball as good as anybody. But he had a tendency to walk. He might strike out 15 in a game. And he might walk 10 in a game, and he was warming up in the bullpen for a baseball game, and the catcher warming him up came up and says, "I tell you what, I'm not catching him anymore. He's wild." So I said to the catcher, I says, "You're not going to play at all today." And he sat for 14 innings. He is now been in the big leagues as a major league scout, has three trophies on major league teams, and he's leaving tomorrow or Thursday to go back to the San Francisco Giants, and that was my son. Wow. And the pitcher that was pitching works with pitchers for the White Sox for 31 years. He pitched for Itchy Jones down in Carbondale at SIU as a freshman, and he walked three batters and hit a batter in his first major league, first game in the playing for SIU Carbondale. He had trouble controlling the ball, but he turned out to be a fine 31 years of coaching and scouting and whatever for the White Sox today, and that's what he does. He drafts major league pitchers today. That's his new job with the White Sox, and that was Kirk Champion.
Man, must be something with that last name, huh, Dave?
Well, I just think the Champion family is a baseball family. I remember the Champion boys when I was a kid and hearing the stories about the Champion family and so forth and what they've meant to baseball. And now when you drive past the curve on Failing Road, it's Babe Champion Field.
Now, Babe, how neat is that? To have your name on a baseball field, that says something about the impact that you've left on so many young men in that town.
Well, that's an honor, and I'll share a couple things with you because this is very important today. And I don't want to forget my oldest son, which is Brett Champion. He played a little JV ball at Carbondale for Itchy and played high school for me, and he didn't continue on. But whenever we had the field out there, I took pride, and till this day, we don't do that anymore. But I wanted teams to come in to play on that curved diamond because we worked hard to keep it nice and pristine. And we had teams from Cincinnati. I had teams from Arkansas. We had teams from Chicago, Kansas City. And these teams were teams that wanted to come to the St. Louis area. They were high school teams or college teams, and they wanted to play in this area. So we had a field that we would let them play on, and SIU Edwardsville and SI with Roy Lee and SIU Carbondale was there in Springfield, Missouri with Coach Bill Rowe. These men are retired or passed on. We brought them there to play. That was the way to, I guess you would say, let our young people in Granite City and the area see what baseball is all about and let parents see the games. Right now, today, baseball is not as desirable for high school that it used to be, junior college. I can share this one thing with Kirk Champion that he was at Rim Lake. And that was a community college in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And he had LaRusso come, not LaRusso, but help me out on the man from the Dodgers, the manager for years.
Tommy Lasorda?
Tommy Lasorda came to a Wren Lake banquet that Kirk had because he wanted the people in the Midwest to see. Had over 100 people at a banquet, and he wanted to see people from the Midwest, let the people know the Midwest still had good people in baseball. And that's why Paul Evans from there went on down to coach at Missouri State till this day. Granite City pitcher just got inducted into the Missouri Hall of Fame from Granite City. So these, like John Lakin and different pitchers and ball players played. And I didn't have as many good records as a lot of people think. I had a lot of wins, a lot of losses, but that's part of baseball. That's part of baseball, winning and losing, but develop young people, and that's important.
We're talking with Coach Babe Champion, legendary Granite City High School baseball coach, segment number 3 when we come back. Friends, if you are looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or the Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasingame, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blasingames are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they are experts at staging and pricing, and they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game a call today at 618-578-9276 or check them out online at blastinggamegroup.com. You will not be disappointed. That's a fellow Granite City guy right there, Jeb Blasting Game.
Yeah, he moved. This is not
on. No, yeah, this is on the record. Go for it.
No, I think he's right there on Pontoon Road. Now, he's may have retired from that area on Pontoon Road.
He lived there for a long time. Yes. I think he lives in Maryville now.
Yeah.
I think.
At his offices.
Yep. Do you remember him from high school?
Oh, yes.
He was a fantastic goalie.
Yes.
And a good track runner and a good basketball player, too.
Yes. Basketball, I remember more than because I didn't get out to the hockey or the track that much.
Were there some coaches from Granite whose work you really admired besides yourself? When you looked at some other coaches and some other programs, you thought, you know, that person's got a really great program, has built a really great program. I can think of one guy in particular, Gene Baker, who we had on the show also, who I think you guys are in a similar league. I think Coach Baker is a fantastic coach. How about some others?
Well, I think of my running mate as far as I play, Bob Stigemeyer, with at North High School. We had a team to go to the state tournament, and I think it was 89 that they won. That's the last team that's gone to the state tournament in baseball, and they have some teams that were very close. But you mentioned Gene Baker. This happens to be that I will see Gene for breakfast here in not tomorrow, but Thursday, get together with him.
Well, you guys will have to compare notes on the Metro Esports podcast as what it was like to be a guest. Hopefully you've enjoyed your time here so far. We're not quite done with you yet, but...
Well, if I can share a story with Gene Baker. You know, being in my age, 88, going on 89, and when Gene Baker came to the high school to teach and coach in 1953, we had soccer in the wintertime with Coach Wyrostek, Coach Wojak, because that's when the IHSA,
Stan
Wojak, yeah, they started that.
He lives in Edwardsville?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a gentleman that had the 1972 soccer team, and that was John Selmar. He was a Spanish teacher, and Gene Baker came in, and I remember meeting him in the hallway of the high school today. It's 100 years old this year. And I says, Coach, you're going to start here. I was old enough to referee when he played high school at CBC on a Sunday, while we would always have games where St. Louis U, CBC, the Catholic schools played on Sunday to draw good crowds. And I refereed a few of those in my early days of basketball. And that's where Gene Baker and I will see him Thursday for lunch.
Legend.
Wow. And he's struggling a little bit, but he's made miracles at our high school in soccer. And I share this with one of you. When was in St. Louis at one of my doctors, and I'm not sure if he was my ear, nose, and throat doctor, but he was talking to me, and he said, you're Granite City? And I says, yes. He says, well, I'm going to be over this weekend. He says, because my son plays at DeSmet, and they're coming over to Baker's tournament. And there's a lot of people that came from the St. Louis Chaminade and play in the Baker's tournaments or Granite City. But Gene Baker was the gentleman that, as I say, that was he's a legend in soccer. And very much so.
Coach, you did some scouting for the Phillies and the Royals, but I want to talk a little bit about your high school, college basketball, college football. You traded in the game jersey for a striped jersey, the little zebra, 37 years.
Yeah, yes, sir. And there were... In the days of what I may have shared with you earlier, when my first year of teaching, I had the opportunity to go to the schools, and I was making $3,300 for the year. And that was for teachers. Then it became 39 technically because the high school got a raise.
Did you get that 4.5% raise?
Well, it's 3% today. But anyway, the opportunity came to teach school, attempt to coach, and I had to make money. So I refereed high school and I refereed college basketball, but more so football because I had to be home the next day from college basketball. I'd go to Springfield, Missouri and referee a basketball game and get home at 2 a.m. in Kirksville where they had Northeast University, and then I would be able to teach. But I worked 15 years of major college football, and I had the opportunity over 150 college games. And probably the two nicest fields I worked on was Virginia Tech and Florida State. And those two schools, I'm trying to implement those for Granite City right today. I've had a field house that I would like to see built, but I don't find too many people that are interested in wanting to do something. I had some people in the schools a few years ago said, well, that's too nice for Granite City, so it died. And I came back this last couple years, and we're trying to implement it again because if we don't have sports or band in that, it's wonderful to have teachers in school and teach the math and the science, but, you know, schools develop over athletics and band, and we have an excellent band. And I say that because this is why we need more students in our high school. And I had to share this with you. When I was refereeing and starting to referee, and never forget this opportunity, in 1957, I'd started in 1956 at Namioke School, and then in 57, Coach Luco calls me from Edwardsville High School in the PE class that I had and says, Coach, we have a basketball game here, a varsity game, and you've been working JV. So this is true stories. These are wonderful. He says, and we're playing Pick Daner and East St. Louis and Edwardsville. Joe Luco, Pick Daner, legends in basketball in high school in the Southwest Conference. And we have a fellow going to referee that works in the Missouri Valley, Johnny Frazier. And he says, we'd like for you to be the other official to work this game. So in 1957-58 was my first varsity basketball game. And it was Edwardsville and East St. Louis, two legends, Pick Daner and Joe Luco. And I worked until about 80. I guess 89, I kind of retired.
Wow.
Yeah. So
who had the, I'm going to say the toughest fans of all those big college crowds, basketball or football?
They all yelled at you. Yeah. You know, that's part of it. But being in the football was, you know, bigger crowds, and you had maybe 50,000. I worked at South Carolina and worked a ball game. There's 70, 80,000 people there when you worked at Florida State. But I'll share one with you for high school is a gentleman that used to sit on the basketball now, used to sit on the midcourt line in Highland, Illinois. And you probably know who I'm talking about. You're young, though, but the story. And he was always on my case about refereeing and so on. And he happens to be Michael's that had the restaurant in Highland, Illinois. He was a very good friend from way back. But on the basketball game, when you toss the ball up with Russ Chapel or myself or whoever the other official was, he would always be on the officials. But that was a high school game where you got to, you know, you could hear him and so on. But that's one of the stories of the Midwest and wonderful basketball. Lawrenceville, Illinois. Oh my goodness, those are some of the best basketball players. And the one that went on to Indiana, I can't think.
The Mule.
You know, 6'5", and I had the coach at Lawrenceville. Had two fouls on him in the first quarter, and he calls me over and he says, "Babe, he's my star."
That's Ron Felling.
Ron Felling.
And, Dave, and you know my.
He never fouled out because he adjusted his body to the, you know, he just. My point is that sometimes they want coaches like to get on your case, and I probably the one that I really respect is when Eddie Hightower was still playing. Still playing at Alton High School, and I had a foul on him, or his play with Belleville and Alton, and the coach didn't like the charge or the block, whatever it was. And to this day, I always kid Eddie when I see him about that foul, that call. You know, we forget those things. They're wonderful people.
I just love it that you called him Eddie. I would never call Doc. If I called Dr. Hightower Eddie, well, I would be afraid.
Ed Hightower.
If you knew him when he was Eddie, then he's Eddie to you. I know him as Dr. Hightower.
Yes, but I didn't call him Eddie. I call him Ed Hightower, because I refereed when he was starting out. I was finishing up, and we worked a few junior college games. We call it community college now, but Logan and different schools in Mineral
Swick
area,
and Lewis Swick, and Clark.
Yes, those schools. I'm sorry to ramble, but I appreciate.
That's why you're here. We want you to ramble.
We love your stories, babe.
You're here. The more you ramble, the better it is.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I hope I didn't embarrass you people.
How about some rivals? We didn't really talk too much about some of the great rivalries you had when you were coaching, but I think when you were coaching baseball, there were some pretty good programs around here against whom you had to compete. Talk about some of those rivalries.
Well, I think of Edwardsville from the standpoint of
Funkhauser and Pyle.
Yes, and you hit a hot button when you said Pyle. But to finish on the Funkhauser family, and I see him periodically today. Mike Waldo was a pitching coach for years, and Mike still comes in. He's working with SIU at the university level, and his father I might see him at lunch. Probably would see him if I go to one of the breakfast lunches today, and Mike Waldo there, and he got out of baseball. But one time when I was coaching at the high school level, we were in the park and Tom Pyle would umpire, and he was working the plate, and he wore the big balloon chest protector, and he always worried about how many pitches he missed. And I would fold my arms at third base. I never yelled at the coaches. If I did, it would be quietly. I didn't want to embarrass. I'd been there. I didn't want to embarrass anybody.
You mean you didn't yell at the umpires?
Yes. Okay. And anyway, Pyle, he had looked down me on a close pitch, and if I just thought he may have missed the pitch, I would just raise one finger. And then he'd look down again, and I would raise two fingers. And before, you know, he took pride in umpiring. But he was a wonderful coach. He was a little bit flambunkish, whatever you want to call it. I don't know these words.
Flambunkus.
Yeah.
That's a perfect word.
But anyway, Pyle and Edwardsville, they were very strong. Belleville had some fine baseball.
Absolutely.
Oh, my, but Boots Buddy and
Collinsville was good. Alton was good. Belleville, like you said, Belleville West. I mean, Belleville was good. So there were so many good. Yeah. I feel like the Metro East gives soccer a lot of credit, and soccer has been really great here for a long time. But I think baseball has been really good here for a long time, for, you know, half a century.
And I get together with the baseball coach with Rich Essington, which was from Venice, and Terry. I just went blank. At my age, I guess you go blank. Terry Smith, baseball coach. He had Oberfeld play third base in high school.
There you go.
And you're talking about legends. Terry's had some of the legends in high school.
Babe, we want to close with, you know, we've talked a lot about your family. We've talked about Keith and Kirk and their 30-plus years in the big leagues. Babe, how long were you and your wife Sue married?
It's ironic. It's ironic that you bring that up. We've been we were married 66 years and 4 months when I lost her last September after 66 years and raising a daughter and three sons. But the story was Cheryl Hanks was a coach at Shurtleff College in baseball. Now, Cheryl Hanks is a legend in Wood River and many places. Maybe a lot of people don't remember him. But anyway, I said to Coach, I says, I'm gonna miss Friday night's game on May the 15th, 1953. I'm gonna miss the Friday night game because you're playing somebody out of Iowa baseball. But I says, Coach, I'll be there for the doubleheader Saturday. My wife and I were married on a Friday night, the 15th of May, but the Saturday, my honeymoon was playing two baseball games at Shurtleff College, which became SIU at the time. And that's how she was always with the boys in baseball and myself, and I lost her a year. And the blessing of all of that with my wife, Sue, is she suffered 6 days in the hospital, and she didn't linger for months, and they didn't know if it was a heart attack or a stroke. But that's important, and I visited her grave today. I went up to Sunset Hills and made sure the flowers looked nice.
Coach, you were talking to me on the way up here about how proud of you are of your four children,
yeah,
your eight grandchildren and two great grandchildren. But I want to mention a quote, and I want you to share with me kind of your philosophy behind it. You talk about to your grandchildren that they need to make good choices.
Oh, see I can name you some people that didn't make good choices. You know, I'm talking about athletes. Granite City had one at one time, and he's not with us anymore. He passed away early. Why be the second best basketball player, if not the first best basketball player that ever lived in Granite City besides Andy Phillip? And you can probably figure out who I'm talking about. People always ask me who the best basketball player in that gymnasium in 1956. That's when it opened. And I said, the name of the gentleman that I ran back with is Donnie Freeman, Madison, Illinois. They just honored him at the gym, played in the big leagues, played in the NBA for many years. And there was a fellow from Granite City, graduated in 69, I think, went to LSU as a freshman, set all kinds of records at LSU with Pete Maravich there. And then he made a bad choice. And that bad choice, you know,
cost him his career.
Yes.
So is that kind of the, that's what you stress to your grandchildren? Is that to make good choices in life?
Yes.
What about when it comes to sports? What do you tell your grandchildren when it comes to sports?
I think the main thing in today's world is there's five letters that I try to use, and that's CHAMPS, champs. And the C can represent commitment, concentration. Today's world, many people, they concentrate in an athletic event between 45 minutes and an hour, and then they're ready to give up. You don't practice baseball for 45 minutes or an hour. You got to go out there and play Indian ball, get better in 2 hours, but work hard. And I think that we lack, in today's world, we lack commitment and heart and hustle. When they hustle down the lines, and a good attitude, and I use that words, and be a modest person, not be a big head. when you hit a home run, just be, or hit a double, don't just raise up and show everybody that you're happy. And then I say P for patience or practice, and I say S for sacrifice. And then if you've done all those things, you came out and you're a champ.
Well, I'll tell you, I feel like he's Babe's been a champion in his life.
So what would you have done if a player would have hit a home run and then flipped his bat, twirled around?
He wouldn't have been playing. No. Matter of fact, you brought up something. I have a young man, only of all my years of coaching freshman, sophomore, varsity, or whatever, I only have one player. He played third base for me. Played it in Wilson Park when was the varsity was there. And a one player. And I says, I think you ought to just move on and not come back in baseball. I had never said that to any player of all my years of coaching freshman, whatever level. And till this day, I've got him on my phone right now that I sent him a congratulations on what he was doing. And he knows what I feel. And he says, I deserve that back then. And we still have respect for each other. And I had told him why don't you just give up baseball? Because he was not a team player. That's a true story.
Let me call a quick timeout here, and then we're going to close things out here. Friends, Andy Callaway of Callaway Home Loans saves me money every month, and now he will save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are really low, and you want to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional FHA, VA loans, and ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he will donate $100 to the Metro East High School or Junior High team or general athletic fund of your choice. That's right. You can refinance, and he'll donate $100 to the Granite City Warrior baseball program in your name, or the Granite City Warrior basketball team, or the Venice basketball team, or the Belleville Altoff volleyball team. It is completely up to you. Call Andy today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East.
He's a good guy. I met him.
Andy Callaway is a great guy. And you know what? Refinancing your house is a good thing. So coaching the attitude, that was a hard thing. It's a hard thing for any coach to get players to have the attitude that he or she wants to convey in her players. What was harder? Getting kids to have the attitude you wanted, or getting them to bend their knees on the ground ball, teaching them how to use their bat? What's harder, coaching the attitude or coaching the skills?
Well, I think really attitude is probably much more important. You know, there's a sport that nobody seems to know anymore. We think about young people, and I know that I'm my age. We used to see girls playing jacks, jump rope, instead of sitting on the bench playing with their phones today, and that's a wonderful tool. But give it about an hour a day, and then let's move on to other things and play Indian ball. And that Indian ball is a sport you don't know of anymore, but we used to play out there at the park where the first diamonds back in there, and we learned the field, throw, catch, and do all of those things. Not one-handed catchers. You use two hands when possible. And that. But that's, that. You know, I'm sorry that that's my philosophy.
You don't have to apologize for that. And you mentioned two words that are right here in my heart. Wilson Park.
Yes.
What an amazing place. I know it had a profound impact on your life and the time that you spent developing as an athlete. Myself, the guy to my left, Chris Mitchell, we all spent so much time at Wilson Park. What a fantastic place.
Yes, and the gentleman now in just last 2 weeks is just a new superintendent out there, Justin Brinkmeyer. He was with the ice rink, and he facility manager in the swimming pool and that, and he got an opportunity to be the new superintendent, and he is moving along to help out and make our park, because there's three places that's going to improve our town. instead of losing families and moving to other cities to the three places that we need to best is our city, which we're having a new mayor coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm not trying to play politics. We have a new superintendent of our schools this past year and a new superintendent of our parks, Wilson Park. And those three entities, matter of fact, I just heard somebody say yesterday, they says Justin is wants to have all the park tables and little areas where you can have picnics and so forth with families. Shelters, I think, is the better word. And we have eight of them. He wants to get them painted again, meaning that you're trying to upgrade things and make it look better, make people proud to come in our town. And we need to get that pride. And sometimes we've lost it. And if you're ever back in Granite City, you call Bobby Galvin or myself, and we'll take a tour of our Hall of Fame.
You are the ambassador of Granite City Athletics.
Well,
how about that, Mitch? You agree with that?
Absolutely. Hall of Famer and a champion.
Babe, champion. Babe, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. It's really wonderful to have you here. It's the stories, the love for the teams in Granite and the kids for Granite. I can feel it, and I'm one of those kids from Granite, I guess. So,
just if you got just a second, don't forget the gentleman that started baking donuts.
That's right.
At Lipes in Granite City.
Frenchie's Belmore Bakery right there on Pontoon Road.
And that was right across from where I went to school, Namioke School.
Yep. 50 years, my grandfather, Leo Lipe, had that bakery, and my dad worked there, and my uncle worked there, and everybody worked there. Spent a lot of time there, and it's a lot of good memories there. And man, I ate a lot of donuts when I was a kid. I pounded those things then, and now I just look like I pound them all the time now, even though I don't. But I really want to thank you for coming in today. You're a true legend and a gentleman. It's fun to have you here for sure.
Well, and thank you for the opportunity. I don't have any words to say other than thanks both of you for Chris and Dave to help me. I'm proud of it.
As always, the guests make the show here. Thanks to Coach Babe Champion and for partners Callaway Home Loans, Cassens & Sons, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb & Ginger Blasting Game, and Integrity Spine & Joint Center. Our producers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and our intern at Zoogie J. Thanks for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.